Welcome to my channel. My name is Lisa Alistway, and on this channel, you will find a variety of inspirational and informational videos. So if that sounds good to you and you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. Today, my guest is Laura Wall, and we're going to be talking about how to manifest from the heart. So to begin, Laura, will you share a little bit about yourself with the audience?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Lisa. My name is Laura Wall, and I'm a spiritual life coach. I'm also a practitioner of Reiki and another healing modality called Aroma Freedom Therapy. I'm also the co-founder of an organization, a nonprofit called Hearts of Healing Center. And our mission is to help humanity evolve with holistic practices of healing, as well as other tools that we're going to be talking about today, like manifesting.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So let's just kind of get right into it. What exactly is manifesting?
Manifesting, I mean, it has a lot of connotations. I'm sure if you look on social media, there's a lot of words around it. But to me, it is taking the unseen and making it seen. It's taking an idea and it's making it tangible. So it's bringing something from the ethers or from our imagination back into reality, something that we can work with. And again, there's different connotations depending on your outlook or your religious practice. But to me, really, it's taking a thought and making it a thing.
Okay. Can you give an example maybe in your own personal life where you've manifested something?
I have two examples. I have the slow boat and I have the fast boat. So when I was not aware of some of the techniques and tips of how to be more conscious in my manifesting. So we're always manifesting because we're always thinking. So there is conscious manifesting and there's subconscious manifesting. And so subconscious manifesting, again, happening all the time. So I decided I wanted to go to Costa Rica. I heard a friend talk about it. She invited me. It wasn't the right time for me. This was 2001. It sounded beautiful. I didn't know much about the country. And I wrote it down on a list, like a wish list of like 100 things I wanted to do before the end of my life. I wrote it down, didn't really give it much more thought. And I also wrote down on there that I wanted to learn how to surf by the age of 50. And so fast forward 15 years after I wrote those two things down, I was in Costa Rica at the tender age of 49. And I was learning, I had already learned how to surf, but I was surfing. And I was a representative of this woman's company for surfwear. So I was a international surfwear model in Costa Rica. So again, I wrote those two things down, and the universe is really fun and clever. It likes to amp up things. So it gave me something even better. But again, that took 15 years. Now, more recently, as I've learned a lot of things about the manifestation process from other spiritual teachers, I knew that it would be great for our household to have a new dog. My husband loves hunting dogs. He has a very particular dog that he wanted. He wanted it from a particular breeder or a particular kennel. And I sat down with him and took him through a process. We started on March 3rd and we did a bunch of different rituals and different tools that we'll talk about here. And by the 21st of March, 18 days later, we had in our home the perfect dog for him.
So what type of dog was it?
It's a German dog. It's called a Drahthaar, a Deutschland Drahthaar. It looks like a German wire hair pointer. Her name is Alex, and she came at the perfect time. It arrived a couple of days after his birthday, and she came at the perfect price, and the breeder even delivered her to us. So again, we thought we were going to have to drive to Idaho or Montana or something to get a dog, and the universe did the something better for us.
Awesome. Awesome. I like your examples, especially the Costa Rica one, because to me, that sounds like a full circle moment, even though it took 15 years, but you acknowledged that it was something you put on paper and then eventually through time, it did happen. It was a full circle moment that you had. So I think a lot of times manifesting could look like that.
It could. And at that time, I was much more interested in success and writing down goals and having action steps. I went to something called Success 2000, and it had Zig Ziglar, who is a very much along the lines of a think and grow rich kind of guy, a positive thinking kind of guy. He was one of the speakers there, along with some other speakers. And they were very much about encouraging people to, you know, write down their goals. And they said that out of all the people that have dreams, only 4% of them actually write them down. This is at that time. Maybe there's more now, that journaling is a big thing. But it said that out of the 4% of people who write down what they desire, they tend to accomplish greater than 75% of what they write down. Well, those numbers kind of stuck with me at that time. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to write down all the things that I want to do one day. And I was about 30 something then. So I had my whole life ahead of me. I figured I'll figure it out as it comes along.
Love it. Love it. So that brings up a very important point. A lot of times people think manifesting, that just sounds like a buzzword. You're just talking about goal setting. How do you differentiate the two?
Yes. So manifesting has been around a long time, and as well as goal setting, as well as habit making. And to me, the big difference between the two is the type of energy that's going around with it. So with goal setting and habit making, to me, that's very much the conscious mind. That is really working with our conscious mind and working with our outward energy, or with like a masculine energy. Like, we're going to take steps and we're going to do things and we're going to make things happen, you know, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. Now, for me, the reverse is true for manifesting. The energy is not masculine. It's more of a feminine energy, and it's about the receiving. It's about allowing. And with the manifesting, I feel like you were working more with your own heart's energy, as well as with something greater. And for me, I call that the universe. Your viewers can substitute whatever word feels great for them, but working with God. So again, I feel like a lot of success making tends to be independent and solo and driving, whereas manifesting is more about receiving, allowing, as well as co-manifesting with the creator of the universe.
Okay, very interesting. So I have seen, just like basically on social media, how manifesting is a very popular term that's out there, and it's just become this phenomenon in the spiritual entrepreneur realm, and especially among women, I've noticed as well, it's even more popular. But why do you think manifesting is just kind of, I don't know, like you said, it's always been around, but why does it seem more popular now?
Short answer, I would say because more people are spiritually awakening, and as they begin to study the spiritual laws, there are 12 spiritual laws, including the law of resonance and the law of attraction. As they begin to tap into ancient wisdom that's been around a long time, but it's within us, it's encoded in our DNA. They are realizing their own power to create their own reality. It's a power that we've forgotten. We have this ability to do this. So I think part of why we're seeing it as popular is because we have mass communication. I think that maybe in the past, you know, people would teach each other in villages and it would spread in an old-fashioned way. And now we're able to see posts about it, you know, that says, you know, manifest that shit and have some memes and so forth. So you're just seeing it more because we have more ways to communicate with each other.
Okay, very good. So let's kind of get into the crux of what this whole video is about. And that is manifesting from the heart versus, say, your mind or ego. Can you talk a little bit on that?
Sure. When I think about manifesting from the mind or ego, and again, I'm not here to lay blame on any of the past ways that anyone has done anything. We have giant skyscrapers. We have amazing inventions. We're in an incredible time in history. And part of that has been a lot of mind or ego manifestation of making things happen. But a lot of that involves like taking this action that's really forceful and forcing things to happen maybe before their time or at the cost of something else. And with the mind and the ego, again, sometimes when most people think of ego, they're thinking of something negative. So it may be done, maybe not for the best reason. Maybe it's done for profit, right? Or for fame or for accolades or some other selfish reason. So again, not naming or blaming anybody here. It tends to follow a very linear process. And like I said, it feels like it's kind of forcing an outcome, and people tend to work with what is. And I hear a lot of talk around it, like, well, that's just the way it is. So, you know, it takes 14 days to get a permit. That's just the way it is. And there's a lot of accepting of the status quo, or like I said, rebelling against it. Well, fine, I'll just hire an expediter, or fine, I'll just, you know, bribe an official to get that on the docket, whatever that may be. When I think of manifesting from the heart, again, I think of that receptive type of energy where you are almost like, I think of it more a little bit like ping pong, which is a kind of a weird analogy, but you're sending something out with the expectation that something's coming back. And so it's a more collaborative type of way, and you are focusing on a heart's desire. And when we have something that's a heart's desire, that's from our higher self. And in general, it tends to, the things that I see that people have a heart's desire, it's not only going to affect them and help them, but it helps others. It elevates others. It enhances others' lives. There's usually emotion attached with manifesting from the heart, which again, for the longest time, emotions were thought of a bad thing. We need to use logic. We need to use reason. And all of those that are being emotional, we need to put them over here because they're making too much noise and they're clouding our judgment. So using emotion is a big part of manifesting from the heart. That's not been a traditional way of thinking about things. There's the incorporation of faith, as I mentioned before, that we are including in our process, that power that's greater than us, whether it is a God that we've recognized from a child, or whether it's understanding that there is a divine order to the universe, that things naturally happen. And again, you may just have a connection to nature. You know, if you look at nature, nature doesn't have anyone standing around the roses in January and going, bloom, bloom, we're going to force you open. Come on, you've got to go. Instead, there's the waiting and allowing of cycles and rhythms. And the last thing I would say with manifesting from the heart is there's more of an allowance of what will be and a more of an acceptance. So again, if you're running into a roadblock, it's like, oh, okay, well, that may be the way that's always been done, but there might be something else. So I would say there's a component of hope, that there's really infinite possibilities in the universe. You've ever met someone that you knew from childhood in an airport when you're traveling or something, there's weird things that happen in the universe all the time. And if you take logic and calculate them statistically, they're improbable. So to me, manifesting through the heart is really tapping into the fact that the universe is full of infinite possibilities. And so when you do run into roadblocks or obstacles, you know that it is possible that something else could happen that's beyond that, that we may not be able to reason or think through.
Oh, that's so good. It gets me thinking that, like, for just an example of how maybe you have to use both the heart and the mind and the ego. So if somebody, let's say, is in a job that they hate, it's soul sucking, it's just, you know, but they just don't like it. And, but they can't quit. Logically, they've got bills, they've got mortgage, they have responsibility, but they can't quit as much as they would like. They know they're in the wrong job. So I think there can be a connection for both, as far as protection. You need them both.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not saying turn off your brain and just trust your heart and run around in the world and look for rainbows. I've studied some of the work of HeartMath. It's an organization that studies the connection between both the heart and the brain. And they have found some really incredible things that, again, a lot of people are starting to discover, tap into, and figure out how to use that to create what they do want, create those new possibilities. And so our heart creates an energy field outside of our body, an electromagnetic field, and it's actually 60 times greater than the field that our brain creates. For the longest time, science said we have one brain right here. And then nutritional science, a frontier that I've tapped into, has come along and said, no, we have another brain. It's in our gut. And we've got this wandering nerve that goes through our body called the vagus nerve, and it connects the two. And the brain talks to the gut, and the gut talks to the brain, and the gut actually makes the serotonin that helps the brain. Well, HeartMath is coming along and saying, oh, we have a third brain. And the third brain is actually our heart. So one of the fun facts that I discovered when I was studying more about the heart was the heart has neuronal cells. These are the same types of cells that are in our brain. HeartMath has studied the heart and the brain. There is actually messages through this vagus nerve being sent between the heart and the brain, from the brain back to the heart. One of my favorite studies that I read about that they did was the anticipation factor. And so people's heart rates would change as they were watching a series of pictures. So they would show them a scary picture or a loving picture or someone holding a puppy or someone holding, maybe brandishing an axe or something, and they're measuring them. And so again, we have our sight, we have our brain, it's seeing a screen, it's seeing things, but they started to notice that the heart was sending particular signals in anticipation, very, very small increment of time, of a good picture or of a bad picture. So the heart already knew, its energetic field was anticipating that energetic field of what it was going to see on the screen. And it already knew something good or bad was coming.
Interesting. I guess this is where you can look into maybe even the science of anxiety and panic attacks and how those all are interrelated and how we're feeling. So that's what I was going to ask you about in particular. You know, when manifesting, how important is it that we tap into that heart resource?
Well, for me, again, my organization's called Hearts of Healing, and I've been loving and playing with hearts since I was a kid born on Heartwood Drive. I think it's one of the most overlooked and yet one of the most important things we can do. And as a society, like I said, there's been so much emphasis on logic and reason and thinking and people being really brilliant or having high IQs or intellect that we've overlooked the innate wisdom that is within our own hearts. And it's really tapping back into that, that we are becoming more whole and we are using all of our systems connected so that we get a greater result. There's something called coherence. And again, this is from HeartMath. And they studied that when we are connecting our heart with our brain in an intentional meditative process, that we are producing a different type of heart rhythm. So our heart rate usually looks like a bunch of ziggy zag lines, right? When we are in coherence, and what coherence means is we're in a relaxed, but clear, calm, lucid state. And again, you may have already experienced this when you're in the shower and those ideas drop in. So you can reproduce this type of feeling, this type of physiological state in your body. And so when we are in coherence, when the brain and the heart are, again, speaking to each other and they're on the same wavelength, literally, the heart rate looks like slow rolling hills on a heart monitor. It's really fascinating to see the shift.
Awesome. Awesome. Very good. So let's talk about
the woo-woo stuff.
I know there's benefits to the woo-woo stuff. So I don't want anybody knocking woo-woo stuff because I do see some beneficial benefits.
Well, there's been spiritual practices going on in indigenous tribes for thousands of years. And now the science is finally catching up and is able to prove some of the ways why this happens, how it happens, what it looks like on the inside of the body when someone is meditating and reaching a higher state.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So let's talk about maybe some special tools and processes that people could utilize to help manifest from the heart.
Okay, great. So I'm a ritualist. And what that means is I like a multi-step process. And so part of being a ritualist is that you are helping create anticipation. So when you create an expectation, you are opening yourself up to receive. So again, being in that receptive state helps with manifesting. So I have written down an acronym because I find that helps people remember things. And it's the acronym GREAT, G-R-E-A-T. So the first thing that I would encourage people to do before we pop into the great is really to get to know their own heart. Because like I said, a lot of people have disconnected from it, or they've been told that being emotional is a bad thing. And I had a very special tool that was, I feel like, gifted to me from the universe when I was meditating and praying and asking how I could be of greater service to my clients, to humanity, that I could help more people. And that's when I received the idea for a card deck that was all around the nature of our heart. So this card deck is called the Daily Heart Affirmation Deck. And I've got some here. And so these cards are watercolor paintings that I created. And on each card, there is a different quality of the heart. So this is the one I drew for today. My heart is open. And then down at the bottom, there's a little journal prompt or just kind of a curious question. So this is a great way to, again, reconnect with our heart, remember the qualities of it. So some of the qualities here I'm reading off the cards are, my heart is confident, my heart is brave, my heart is loving. And I think, like I said, when we have a lot of our attention focused outward on our responsibilities, our job, getting through traffic on time, taking care of kiddos, taking care of pets, that we don't necessarily remember who we are on the inside. And these cards help you reconnect with your heart. And again, all of those beautiful qualities of yourself, of your true self. So that would be my first suggestion, is that people do some sort of practice that helps them connect with themselves. Then for my creation process, what I like to do, like I said, is it's a 5-step process. And the first one is the letter G, which stands for gratitude. And this might seem counterintuitive. Again, if you're used to taking action all the time, gratitude seems like the opposite of taking action. But again, when we are in gratitude, we are creating a very particular energetic field, an energetic signature with our body. And we are saying to the universe, to God, wow, I have plenty. Wow, I have enough. I have everything I need. Thank you so much. These are all the things I love. Oh my gosh, universe, you did great. You got me my favorite water bottle. Oh my gosh, universe, you made these incredible headphones. Oh my gosh, universe, you helped to make this cool little deck. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So when we're in that receptive mode, then the universe is able to go, oh, she's ready for me to send her stuff. I can send her more. I can send her more of what her heart's desire is. So again, just sitting in that gratitude, there's a lot of physiological benefits as well. There's things that are going on inside. One thing is we're creating oxytocin within ourselves. So that's a really nice calming effect, and it can help with the next couple of steps. So the next step would be the R of great, which is request. And I tell people this is a little bit like ordering a pizza. So you want to be specific, to include all the things that you really like, but you still need to allow for those in the kitchen that are amazing artists, amazing chefs, to add their own little spin. So you don't necessarily, you know, if you call some gourmet pizza shop and you say, I would really love a pepperoni pizza. You don't go over there and say, oh, you know, you really shouldn't put so much oregano in your red sauce. I'm not going to like that. So you have to allow them to create with you. And again, that's the universe creating with you. So with your request, you want to be clear about the things that you're wanting. You want to use positive language, and you want to make sure that you're either, I say, put it in the form of a prayer if you're a praying person, or I think it's really powerful to put it down in writing so you can see it and you can come back to it. Give as much detail as possible, but again, you've got to allow a little space for the universe to come up with some extras for you. So the next letter in our acronym of GREAT is the letter E, and that is experience. And by that, what I want you to do is you're going to have an experience with your senses. So we have this amazing body, which is the container of our soul, and it has a lot of things that it can do for you, and we forget to tap into its power. So I like to do either get in kind of a meditation. I really like to use visualization. I know there's a lot of people that don't visualize as much. They can't always see pictures. So you could build out a little vision board on Pinterest. You could set up something on your desk with some pictures. You could make a little altar and burn some incense and have some little tokens of things that are meaningful for you. So when I have been interested in manifesting another trip to Costa Rica, I have shells from Costa Rica on my altar. I have maybe a little coconut on there, a little coconut shell. I will have some things that are symbolic of what I'm bringing in more of. And then this is where the heart and the brain come together. So we are using our brain, our mind, to visualize or experience all of our senses. And when I say meditate, I know for some people that's difficult. So instead of trying to do something that feels rigid, and again, making yourself, which again is that forceful energy, try receiving, thinking about what would it feel like? Let's say I'm working on a trip to Costa Rica. What would it smell like if I was in Costa Rica? Oh, the air smells really fresh. What would it sound like? Oh, I can hear the birds. What would it taste like? Oh, they have the most amazing passion fruit. It's this bright purple fruit that I love to eat for breakfast. So bringing in all of your senses is, again, cueing up your body and your brain to anticipate that that is coming. So a cool thing about our brain is what happens on the inside of our head and what it sees or experiences, it doesn't realize that it hasn't happened outside. So again, working with those spiritual laws, if we created enough in our own physiology, our mind and body begins to anticipate it and draw it to us. So the last one, and this is the most important sense, is the sensation of feeling, of the emotion. So what would it feel like to finally have that wish fulfilled, to be in Costa Rica? Oh, I would feel so invigorated. I would feel excited. And as you sit in this process of experiencing your senses, you want to try to create that emotion, that sensation in your body. It may not feel as big or as bold as if you were really there, but if you're practicing it, just practicing it a little bit. And that to me is really fun. I have very vivid visualizations, and I like to do a lot of guided meditations for my clients. The A in great is for allow. And allow is the detachment part, and it's the having faith part. And so this is where I usually remind my clients about Christmas. And so Christmas, what do Christmas and manifesting have in common? When is Christmas, Lisa?
December 25th.
And are you sure? What if we didn't have Christmas this year?
Well, that would be sad.
You know it's coming. You know it's on the calendar. You know it's at least the date's going to go by. Maybe it's going to look a little different. So that's what I remind people, is you want to have that faithful expectation like you do around Christmas. Christmas is coming. I'm not sure how many gifts I'm going to get. I don't know who all I'm going to see. I'm not sure if I'm going to travel, but I know that event is coming towards me. So with this allowance part of the manifestation process, you are kind of detached from exactly how it shows up, but you are faithful in knowing that it can show up. It will show up in some way, form, or fashion.
Like a belief.
Belief. Yeah. The belief part is really huge. Mm-hmm. And then I added the T at the very end, because again, I feel like gratitude is a really great sandwich to wrap all of this up in. So we're going to add some more gratitude at the end with a T for thank. So thanking the universe that this is out there being created for you. Just like when you think about buying your next car, you don't have any doubt that there's a car out there somewhere for you. It might be on the assembly line being made. It might be driven by someone and they're polishing it up and they're going to drop it off at the dealership to get sold to you. So thanking the universe that this is being created out there for you and that it is on its way. And again, you may not know the timing, and that's okay. That's part of the surprise, just like getting surprises at Christmas.
Awesome. Can you just summarize real quick the G-R-E-A-T?
Sure. G is for gratitude. R is for request. E is for experiencing all your senses. A is for allowing. And T is for thank.
Okay. That's a great acronym. Very good. I like that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Do you have any other processes or tools you'd like to share before we move on?
Sure. Absolutely. I've been studying this for a long time. I've taken courses. I've read books. I have friends that we've done different rituals and processes together. So one of them that's really fun that my friend and your friend, Kim Goyette, taught me, I had lost something one day that was important to me, one of my essential oils, and I wanted it back. And she said, oh, okay, well, let's use a mudra. And so a mudra is a hand position. And it is, again, it's doing things energetically in our body. It's doing things in the spiritual world that we may or may not understand. But she had me put all of my fingers together like this. This is a mudra. And she had me envision in the middle of my fingers, that little bottle of oil. And then she had me imagine what would happen when I would find it. And so I just, again, said a prayer, like it's out there. It's in this house. I have not left this house without oil. It has to be somewhere. I don't know where it is. I envisioned it in my hands. I envisioned what it would feel like when I got it. I saw myself dancing around and whooping and carrying on and getting excited. And then I just let it go, let go of the memory, let go of the idea. And I just waited for it to show up. And it did. And it showed up in a very unique, fun way. It made me laugh. And I did dance around and was very thankful. There's other things you can do, like chanting. And I encourage people to explore on their own, because I believe that manifesting is just like a recipe. Everybody has their best recipe. They have the things that really work for them because of who they are and how they're made. I use a lot of essential oils. Sometimes I use chanting. Sometimes I use mudras. That could feel odd to people. That could not be the thing that they want to do. Mm-hmm. So I put these out there for them to explore and to research on their own to see what fits their recipe. One of the things that is supposed to help change your vibrational state, your frequency, is the aroma of cinnamon. So I use an essential oil called Magnify Your Purpose, and it has cinnamon, a cinnamon oil in it. So again, I'll use that before I do my little great process. And so I'm raising my frequency. I'm changing that energetic signature that I'm sending out there, and I am bringing in what I am requesting.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, I know there's a, like I said, there's a lot of things. The more I delve into it, there's definitely plenty of different bells and whistles that you can add to it. You can keep it simple or you can make it more fun. I was going to suggest a couple of books too. These have been, I would say, really critical for me in shifting my mindset around how the universe works, because I was taught and trained a certain way through my childhood and schooling and religious practices. And these books really helped me look at the world differently. Mm-hmm. So the first one is called E Cubed, and it's by a woman named Pamela Grout. And I love her writing because it's not a book. It's like a workbook or a playbook. So I was reading this book. I was listening to it on Audible as I was driving. And so each chapter has kind of a premise, and then there's kind of like a little activity of what you can do. And I just about wrecked my car because I was thinking about the practice, and she was saying, just imagine that you could, you know, just ask the universe, like, hey, there's something I want to see today. And don't worry about how crazy it sounds or how impossible it is. And, you know, maybe not even giving the universe a limit, like don't say, you know, today, maybe this week or this month. Well, I was like listening to this story about this woman who asked for butterflies, and it was the middle of winter. And she just had no idea how butterflies could show up. And she was sick. She was kind of homebound. Her boyfriend showed up that night, 3 days prior to her birthday, and brought her a butterfly house as a birthday gift. Oh, so wow. She had they show up in her house. So I did the same thing. I was like, oh, butterflies. That's kind of cool, because I usually see hearts. Well, you know what? All right. This is my order, universe. I would love to see butterflies, and I would like to see hearts all together. And I was driving through Brady, Texas. I look up, and there's a giant mural, and at the corners of the mural, there are these wrought iron butterflies projecting off of it, this building. And the mural, it says, talks about Brady being the heart of Texas. And there's a giant heart in the middle of the mural. And I was like, what just happened here? This is crazy. How does this work? How do I turn this thing on? How do I turn it down? That was one of my experiences with manifesting. And like I said, it's a really fun book to play with. It gives you a very playful outlet. Another one is Ask and It Is Given. So Abraham Hicks is an entity. It's a consciousness that is channeled by a woman named Esther Hicks. She's been around since the 80s. Her and her husband, Jerry Hicks, co-wrote a book called Ask and It Is Given. And again, it's a mindset book. And it reminds you of some of the spiritual principles that have been around for eons, including things that are written in the Bible that are showing you that abundance is your birthright. It is ours to ask for things. It is ours to have heart's desires, and it is ours to co-create with the universe.
Awesome. Awesome. So let's talk about maybe some obstacles to manifesting, and because I can mention some right off the bat, such as fear and judgment from others, but how do we overcome some of these obstacles to manifesting?
So the first one, let's tackle fear, because that's a super big one. So can you be a little more specific? What would you say your fear is about it?
Fear of success, fear of failing. You know, you're manifesting a big goal or dream and you want to accomplish it, but you're held back by fear of change, just fear of what people will think of you. I mean, fear comes in a lot of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the biggest obstacles is what those of us in the spiritual coaching world would call limiting beliefs. And limiting beliefs are at a cellular level. They're at a brain level. They are in our body. They have been perhaps taught to us or trained to us because of our traditional approach to schooling. We may have learned them in our home. And to be able, they may have been generational. They may be in our DNA. And to overcome those, we have to become aware of them. And then we have to shift that energy. The way to do that is a much longer discussion than we have time for today. But there are many modalities. There are many practices. There's many, many coaches, as well as myself, that help people work through releasing those limiting beliefs. So if you think of a limiting belief as kind of like if you had a pain trapped in your body, you know, you would say, okay, I could take an aspirin, I can go to the chiropractor, I could go to the doctor. So there's a lot of ways to release that trapped energy in your body. And so I'll give you an example of one that I had that was a limiting belief and what I did to work through it. Would that be helpful?
Yeah.
Okay. So as a child in my household, one of the things that I was taught was that money was limited. There's not a lot of it. We're on a budget. Things are tight. You can't have those pair of jeans until next month's paycheck. And so that was kind of my belief around money, was to like hold on to it and to be afraid that there wasn't more coming, or to be really, really kind of frugal with it and careful with it. And again, there's great aspects of that. I'm a really great budgeter. I'm a really good saver. I'm a good investor. But again, that fear factor could keep me from attracting more things. So what I decided to do was disprove my theory, what I'd been taught, which is money is limited. So I started going around and trying to find examples of in my own life where things were abundant. So one of the things I did, it sounds a little crazy, I went through my entire house. I stopped at one point because it got overwhelming, and I started writing down the cost of every single thing that I had. Oh, okay, I've got a little bottle of oil, that's $20. Okay, I've got a set of silverware from Costco, that was $35. Okay, I've got this house, this was how much dollars, and so forth. And I kept going until I got past a million. And I was like, okay, money's not limited. It's all around me. There's so many resources. Like, there is so much around me. And again, that's just the things that I quote unquote own or I have or available to me. Then I expanded it out and started thinking about how can I prove again that the universe is unlimited? Well, I started looking at nature, and nature doesn't deal in limitations. You know, if you chop down a tree, there'll be a little sprig coming out of the middle of it, or there'll be an offshoot coming off of it. You know, at the end of fall, when all the leaves fall and everything looks dead, we may think the trees are dead, but in the spring, it comes back again. So trying to find ways to prove to myself that there was not limitation in the universe, that really helped me start again, just shifting my mind and looking at things differently. One of my other limiting beliefs was that people that had money were mean and not generous, because again, in my experience, the people that taught me that in my family, they were not always generous. My grandparents were children of the Depression. And so they taught me to hang on to your money and invest it in really safe ways and don't take risks. And so I realized that they clung to their money and they did not release it. So again, I decided, let me see if I can find people in the world that have lots of money mm-hmm. that are not miserly and mean and that are generous. And I found a lot of examples, not only in celebrity or philanthropic type people like Tony Robbins or people like that, but I also found them in my friends. So I started noticing, wow, whenever I go over to this friend's house, she never says, you need to bring a dish. She always makes dinner. She always has plenty of food to share with me. Mm-hmm. You know, or when I go out with this friend, she always offers to buy me, you know, lunch or buy me a drink or stay at her home. So these to me are all forms of generosity and abundance that I was seeing through all of my friends. They had plenty and they had so much that extending it to others was just natural to them. So mm-hmm. it started showing me I could look at money and abundance a lot differently.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. You know, when I think about some of the obstacles, like, you know, for example, I don't come from an athletic family. And so when I've set some goals for myself, for example, this year, I did a 50K. And I remember telling my mom, love you, Mom. I know you're watching. She said, don't do that. You're crazy. You're going to hurt yourself. And I was like, wait a minute. That's her limiting belief. I already knew because I've run a marathon in the past. Before a marathon, I ran a 10K. Before a 10K, I ran a 5K. Like I already had the belief in myself. And so when yeah. I set this goal, I knew that I could manifest it and come to fruition. But you have to be careful who you share some of your manifestations with, I would say, unless you are very strong in it. It doesn't matter what people think. They're not going to penetrate your way of doing it. But I would say just when you're manifesting, think about those types of things.
Absolutely. Your tribe affects your vibe. So if you're around a bunch of Debbie Downers and you're like, I'm going to manifest a trip to Costa Rica and I'm going to surf and I'm going to model and I'm going to be 50 years old. You know, if I told someone that at 40 and some of the people I was around, they'd probably be like, no, models are young and you're going to be old. And it probably would have affected me believing that I could. So choosing to be around people that believe in the possibilities as well as in the impossible is definitely important. One of my favorite phrases is that proof dispels doubt. So one of the most powerful words that I have used for myself in my manifesting, super simple word, is how. So if I'm about to do something that feels scary, and again, that's our ego. That's our egoic mind trying to keep us safe and saying, oh, you're going to get hurt if you run that 50K or 5K. You know, that's our mind trying to keep us safe. So the workaround to work with that fear and yet try to move towards what we're wanting to manifest is to ask, how could I achieve this goal and stay safe? How could I go to Costa Rica and it still fit my budget? How could I? And again, that's part mm-hmm. of that request process. Mm-hmm. And so when we ask that word, when we use that word in our ask, in our quiet time, in our prayer, in our meditation, it brings in greater resources than we can imagine. And to me, it really brings in new ideas and it really helps honor that fear. And mm-hmm. so you're not trying to ignore the fear or tamp it down. You're working with the fear and you're showing yourself, you're proving to yourself that it can be done. So again, there's a lot of people out there that have done a lot of races and they've not hurt themselves. What did they do? They had a great training program or a great stretching program or a great nutrition program or all of the above. Mm-hmm. So there are ways for it to be done.
Yes. Yes. So let me ask you about some common manifesting mistakes. For example, I think, if you set unrealistic goals, that could be, you know, your downfall. So let's talk about some of these common manifesting mistakes.
I like unrealistic goals. I think those are the ones that make the world go round, because there's always going to be someone that says it's impossible until it's done. I mean,
let me clarify. An unrealistic goal would be things like, things that are out of your control, like a genetic disease, and you know you can't control that, right? That's kind of more of where I'm coming from.
Okay. They've actually shown that only 5% of all disease is caused by anything genetic. That it's generally lifestyle and environment that causes most disease. By the way, so our genes can control some things, but we actually have the power to turn them on and off with different meditative practices. Just an aside. I think some of the common mistakes would be, like you said, is, okay, I want to lose 20 pounds by the end of the week, or I want to have a Ferrari by Thursday. Sure, those are a little unreasonable. The ones that I tend to see with my clients is they're getting too rigid in their ask. And so that would be part of that, is they're getting too rigid in their request. Like, I want this car. I want it this way. I want to only pay this much. I have to have it at this timing. And so when we can get a little flexible with some of those asks and saying, and getting more general. So for example, I'm going to take a car because most people have asked for or needed a car at some point in their life. So instead of saying, I have to have a red car, but instead, you know, I would prefer a red car, and saying it can only cost this amount, you know, a range of this to this would be great. Or if it could show up in an unconventional way, or if maybe I was able to meet my budget. I've had some really great experiences with changing my phrasing and softening the request or the ask. And then again, it allows the universe to have it show up in those different ways. So not being so rigid with the requirements and getting more general, getting more into the felt senses again. What would it feel like to have great transportation that absolutely delights you and you feel free? That's a whole different feeling than I have a red car by Thursday. So again, they might show up with a white car, but you got it for such a great deal that you have money to go and get it painted red. And yet you've got all these bells and whistles on the inside of it that you didn't ask for.
And like the instant results that you're talking about, that's pretty unrealistic. Maybe not unrealistic that your Costa Rica example happened 15 years later. So, you know, it happened. It just took time. So don't expect maybe instant results with some of your manifestations.
Well, and that was an example of unconscious. So I just put it in there and I kind of put it in. So part of manifesting is, and I didn't really cover it here, but there are taking some inspired action. And that's, you know, again, if you say, I would like to have a reasonable expectation, I would like to run a marathon by March. That's doable. You know, that's 6 months away. And you visualize yourself doing it. You feel the feeling of crossing the finish line. That's amazing. You say all your gratitude and thank you. You still do need to take some action. You do need to go and find a training program. You need to do the training on a day-to-day or weekly basis. So there is some action that has to be taken. But again, it's in alignment with those other things. I think so that could be an obstacle, is maybe not doing some of the inspired action. I find a lot of clients will obsess. So they're doing their rituals really hard, or they're reading their visualization statement over and over. And it's like they're grinding it out, like they're forcing it to happen again. And so I can't remember, maybe it's a crock pot, but there's some device that I remember saying where you set it and forget it. And so I kind of like that process. I'm not completely forgetting it, but I'm writing it down. I'm trusting. And then I'm moving away from it. And then when I think about it, instead of thinking, I hope it happens, instead going, oh, thank you, it's on its way.
Yeah, I think that is a big mistake if people lack the clarity. Like, you have to know exactly what you're aiming for. But like you said, not being so rigid, expecting results right away. And I think allowing, which is part of that great acronym you had built in there, that you need to allow what's going to happen. It may not happen 100% like you like it, but that's where the gratitude and the thanking comes in, because then you recognize it.
When we were manifesting a dog, part of it was, I wanted a dog that was a companion for my husband. He was looking at kennels and buying a puppy. We were going to have to drive hundreds of miles. We were going to have to pay extra $1,500, thousands of dollars. And instead I was saying, we were visualizing him hunting with a dog. We were visualizing the dog in our home. We were talking about how the dog would be a member of our family. And we got a call from the guy, a breeder who said, I've had a dog that was a puppy that's come back to me. It's a year old. Mm-hmm. We're not going to go through puppy stuff. It was already trained some. It was already ready to come to our home. So it was already better than we imagined. And yet, you know, if you know dogs, a one-year-old dog still has a lot of puppy in them. And so it was ready to bond with us. So because we weren't as rigid about saying it has to be a puppy, mm-hmm. we had something show up that was even better. And the price was even better. And like I said, the guy delivered the dog to us. So there was very little driving involved, made it super easy for us. I think the last one that I see a lot of, and I see this in myself, because as much as I teach about manifesting and I do manifesting, I certainly have my days of doubt or frustration, and that is the lack of faith. Mm. And that is, is it really possible? Because sometimes we get in our own little world or around people that are not as positive minded or possibility minded. And it can feel like, that might not happen this year. And again, maybe some of it is detachment, letting it happen at another time, letting it happen in its own timing because it'll turn out better. But what I like to do when I am struggling with lack of faith is I need to pump myself up. So just like if you are tired, you need to rest, or if you're hungry, you need to eat. If you are lacking faith, then where could you find faith? So I keep a list on my phone of miracles and synchronicities and manifestations. And I go back and I read that. And I remind myself of all the things that happened that I didn't think could happen, or happened in unique ways, or special things that happened that really showed me that the universe was on my side. And I have that little body of proof, and that really energizes me. Mm-hmm. Alternately, I will tap into another friend's belief. So just like, you know, if you're out of sugar, you go to your neighbor to borrow a cup of sugar. I don't know if people do that anymore, but I'll borrow someone else's belief. So I will call a friend that I know believes in manifestation, believes in that process, believes in miracles. And I'll say, I don't really know. I don't know if this, like I've had workshops where I'm like, I don't know if this workshop's going to come together, if anyone's showing up. And they would say, well, remember that one time when it was the last moment and three people signed up? They'll remember things for me, or they'll remember their own miracles, and they'll remind me of that power of possibility. Mm-hmm. And that helps, again, change my energetic frequency that says allow, receive, it's mm-hmm. possible, and it can come.
Love that. Love that. Everybody should make a list, make a jar of all your manifestations that came true. And then when you're feeling like it's not working for you, refer back to when it did happen. So I love that as a tool. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, we're coming here toward the end. Do you have any like final thoughts you would like to share on the topic of manifesting with the heart?
Sure. I think first and foremost, like I touched on a little bit before, is I think like I said, I feel like the heart is one of the most overlooked powerhouses in this beautiful body that we get to run around the earth in. And really taking the time, whether it's in the shower or when you're doing a chore or in meditation, if that's something you do, really pausing and asking your heart as if it were a person, what do you desire? What do you really want? And listening to that answer and allowing that answer to be possibly true, because I think sometimes we shut down hearing that little voice inside of us. And to me, that's part of the voice of the soul. That's part of the voice of our higher self. That's the part of the voice of God, and listening to those answers. And again, whether you write them down or pray about them, knowing that there's nothing that comes to us or through us that is not for us, that if it's coming from the heart, it's possible. It's definitely possible. It may take years, or it may take some other people. It may take a manifestation process, but I truly believe that your heart's desires, the things that burn inside of you, that you keep thinking about, that you keep seeing, that you keep feeling, that you keep knowing that it's got to be out there somewhere, that those are the things that are calling us. And our heart is like a receiver. It's hearing that call, and the two are drawing each other close. So I just encourage people definitely to find a practice that makes them feel like they can connect back with their heart, to listen to that higher voice, and to be gentle with themselves as they practice manifesting. Certainly try to find others around you to encourage you, and do your own research. Don't take my word for it. I was a big skeptic. I thought it was a bunch of silliness or coincidence. But I had so many coincidences that started happening that I had to believe there was something greater at work than that. And as I delved in and started doing my own research and read books and looked at the science, I started to realize this beautiful power that's within me to create the life that I desire, and that I can tap into it, that I can work with it, that I can work with the power of the universe to affect the world around me, to make things happen in a more harmonious way. And that to me is the fun of manifesting, is it doesn't feel like it used to when I was in my 20s and 30s and I was trying to force things to happen and hit goals by deadlines and all this. This feels like I'm calling in and I'm beckoning things to me. And then when it shows up, I'm always surprised by it. I'm always delighted by it. And there's always a bonus. There's always something extra. So that makes it really fun, really fun. So that would be my encouragement. Get connected to your heart and have fun with your manifesting.
Excellent. Excellent. Where can people find you, Laura?
They can find me. I am on Instagram. So it's Hearts of Healing Center is on Instagram. My website is heartsofhealingcenter.org. And that's where you can find and purchase your very own Daily Heart Deck. And I sent these out to get produced, and I wasn't quite sure when they were going to show back up again. So I've been offering a special lately if people order them before let's say for your viewers before Tuesday, the 25th of September, I will include a little special gift in with their purchase. So they can find those on the website. And those are the two best places to find me, Instagram, as well as on my website.
Awesome. Awesome. And I'll put that down in the description box as well for everybody's convenience. Well, thank you, Laura. Appreciate you coming on and talking today. I learned some stuff, and I hope that you guys watching were inspired by Laura's words. And don't just think that this as woo-woo stuff. This stuff can really work. And I really do appreciate you outlining that for us today.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yes, yes. And if you guys like this video, be sure to give it a thumbs up and leave a comment down below. And don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell to be alerted to when the next video drops. Thanks for watching.